The book of 1 John. 1 John. I hope you're doing well this morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, this is the last morning, and you're ready to go home to your bed? All right. How many of you are like, you know what? Whatever. Honestly, I'm ready to go back to my refrigerator. More girls than guys. Wow. All right. How about this? You know what? Honestly, I miss my pets. Yeah. We have a pet snail we travel all over the country with. You think I'm joking. I'm serious. I think if anything happened to Roz, it would devastate my two little girls. All right. Let's see. How many of you are like, you know what? I miss mom and dad. Okay. How many of you are? Well, I hate to admit it, but I miss my siblings. Four hands. All right. And how many of you are like, you know what, Brother Glenn? I know. This is just me. I really miss my game system. Yeah. Okay. All right. When I became a man, I put away childish things. All right. That was free. All right, 1 John, 1 John chapter number 2. Let's all stand together and we'll read two verses this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and I pray this morning that you would you help us to compare our love for you based on our love for other things. And I pray that decisions will be made this morning for Christ, just choosing to prioritize our love for you, and everything else pales in comparison. Help us this morning with our hearts. And I ask this in the name and the blood of my Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, the police force, and specifically the state troopers, came out with this slogan in many states. Click it or ticket, even you know. All right? The idea is, hey, listen, if you are driving, you better buckle your seatbelt, because if you don't, you're going to get a ticket. How many of you drive? I mean, legitimately, you have a license, a permit, something. A bunch of hands just went down. I'm very concerned. All right, you can put your hands down. Some of you, you're about ready to get your permit. I think I might stop driving, you know, all those things. Okay, so y'all are dead. All right, so anyway, when you are driving, if you don't buckle your seatbelt, you will get a ticket. Now, I am told that there are some places in the country where that's not true, but it's very, very, very rare because there are consequences to not wearing your seatbelt. All right, there are consequences. You say, why? Well, I know people that have been thrown through the windshield of a car, and some of them have died on impact. 2 weeks ago, I heard about a man in a church that we've preached at many times in Pennsylvania. He was ejected from the front seat of his car. He went through the windshield, and he was killed. All right, it happens. Why? Because you didn't put on your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. There are consequences. Understand this. Consequences are not always a bad thing. In our home, we teach our girls this. Obedience brings blessing. Well, that's a consequence. Let's put it this way. It is a result of something you do. That's a good consequence. But usually when we think of the word consequence, we think, oh, no. I made a foolish decision. Oh, no, that was dumb. Oh, no, I hadn't planned on that happening. Usually when we think of consequence, we have the wrong idea, or how about this, the idea that something turned out wrong or different than the way we planned. Understand this. Everything in life has consequences. Everything. Every decision you make has consequences. Some may be good, but many, based on our heart, will turn out bad. When you open the Word of God in this passage in the book of 1 John, you find that John, he says that we ought love God. We ought love God. It doesn't mean if you don't love God, you're not on your way to heaven. That's not what it means. He's talking to Christians, and he's telling us, because you've been saved, you ought love God. How does God know if you love Him? I think that's a valid question, right? A valid question. How does God know? Do I love God? Now, I know God's love never changes because God is love. But my love always will change based on whom I choose to obey. You go to the Word of God. Here's what He says. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then it goes on to state some of the things that we love in the world. And I believe you could categorize the entire world, or what the world has to offer, based on these three things. He will state in verse number 16, for all that is in the world, then he says this, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is interesting to me because it seems like this is a progression. It seems like it starts with the flesh that then is fed by the eyes, and before long it just becomes a part of life. Young person, understand this. What you watch, even the way other people act, what you watch, eventually you will do yourself. When you do it yourself, what you have seen, it has become a thought and now an action. An action then becomes a habit. A habit then becomes a lifestyle. So if you go back to the beginning, it's important what we put our eyes on. It's interesting how John will say here that the lust of the flesh comes before the lust of the eyes, and if you're not careful, that will go on for the pride of life. In other words, what you think about, what you dwell on or gaze on, eventually becomes how you live. So make sure that it pleases God. If you were to turn, and I'm going to ask you to 1 Corinthians, I want you to see what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, notice what it will say in verse number 31. Many of you probably already have this memorized. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31, the Bible says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that verse sure covers a lot of ground. I mean, whatsoever you do, that means everything you do. So in other words, at the beginning of this passage, we have learned that there is a what of the Word. In other words, God says this in the Bible, whatsoever you do, anything you do ought bring glory to God. In other words, God says He is pleased with that. In other words, He's saying when my children follow in that, in what I am pleased with, then I will be pleased with them because they are choosing to follow me. So when I choose to do something that doesn't glorify God, it is impossible for me to glorify God. Let's put it this way. I meet an awful lot of young people who say, it doesn't matter so much what I do or what I say, where I go, or what I look at. As long as my heart is right, I'm okay. Please understand, what you do, what you say, where you go, what you look at, reveals where your heart is. You say, hey, listen, some of the things that I've been looking at, some of the things I've been doing, some of the things I've been dwelling on, they're not hurting anybody else. Sure they are. They may not affect others right now, but they eventually will. But don't you think it hurts the Lord? Don't you think when the one that Jesus bought now decides just to do what he wants, and God says, that doesn't please me. But again, you go back to John. And John will say, the lust of the flesh, then the lust of the eyes. Understand this, we all live in the flesh. And the Bible is clear that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good inside of me. But then the Bible will state about our eyes, that our eyes are key in following Jesus. You say, I don't get it. What's the point? What you put before your eyes will determine what you think about. And what you think about determines how you act. And how you act determines who you will become. So is it a big deal on what you look at? Yes, it's a very big deal. It is a huge deal. So let me ask you this, just for practical sake, just for right now in thinking, has everything you have been looking at, does everything glorify God? Everything. Wow, that encompasses a lot, doesn't it? I mean, that would encompass what I look at on the computer, what I look at on my phone, what I look at on the television, what I look at when I'm out in the world, what I look at when I'm in the mall walking around. And I realize some of you are like, what's a mall? Okay, hey, listen, what you put your eyes on determines what you'll think about. And that determines how you'll act and live. So your eyes are important. Your eyes and what you gaze at, what you dwell on, what you look at. And listen, the world knows that. Maybe more specifically, we should say the devil knows that. And so the devil loves to tempt us by what we see, trying to get us not just to look and look away, but look and gaze and dwell on and feast on. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you're getting up late at night, and when no one else is around, just to try to look at things that you know your parents or God would not be pleased with. Maybe you're looking at your phone, and you say, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I can look at it. Maybe you're on YouTube, or maybe you're on Facebook or Instagram. Please understand this. What you look at has consequences. And you say, it's not that big of a deal. When you click it, understand, there may be coming a ticket. You'll face the consequences based on what you look at. It will affect you. If we just go back just to this verse in 1 Corinthians, is everything you are looking at glorifying God? I dare say most of us would plead ignorance. Or we would say, it's just a little bit. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. The what of the word says glorify God. In whatsoever things. In everything. All right. Then maybe we need to take just a moment and focus on our eyes. What we've been looking at, where we've been seeking, where we've been watching, and we need to compare it with Scripture to see if it glorifies God. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 101, verse number 2. I know we'll turn several places this morning, but I really believe it'll be a help to us. And if you have no notebook, I'd encourage you to take notes, not based on what I say, but based on the Word of God. Because every individual will struggle with the temptation on what they look at. Psalm 101, verse number 2. Notice what the Word of God says. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Ooh, we'll come back to that one. Verse number 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. In other words, he says, hey, listen, I need to be careful what I put before my eyes. It's a big, big deal. And the sweet psalmist here says, I'm not going to look at anything that's going to be wicked. Or let's put it this way, because when we use the word wicked, we think, you know, like dirty, filthy, in jail type deal. Please understand, anything that doesn't glorify God, God calls wicked. Anything. So here he says he's going to set no wicked thing before his eye. He hates the work of them that turn aside. He doesn't want it to cleave to him. In other words, become who he is. So he's going to be careful what he puts before his eyes. Verse number 2, did you see what it said in the last part of the verse? He says this in verse number 2. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. Young person, when you're behind the closed doors of your room, or when you're in the darkness underneath your covers, what are you looking at? You say, hey, listen, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Because what I continue to put before my eyes, I'll continue to say, no big deal. And before long, I won't even think it's a big deal, so I'll begin to do it. How about this? Let's just simplify it, okay? Have you heard people that call themselves Christians use inappropriate language? Well, duh. Why would they do that, or where would they get that? Based on what they're watching. You say, I would never, ever use that language. But you watch it. And when you continue to watch it, aren't you just accepting it? And if you're accepting it, could you begin to use it? Absolutely. You say, it is a big deal. You say this, it's just cartoons. Excuse me. Just because it's animated doesn't make it clean. Maybe let's just hold on here for a minute. Have you ever heard of the show Beavis and Butthead? Some of you smiling because you know what I'm talking about. Just one episode, let's just point to one episode. There's a man who looks like a hippie, they call him JC. He comes out and he sits down to watch television with Beavis and Butthead. And they begin to groan and grunt and And then the camera pans and you see that they're watching pornography on the television. See, it's just a cartoon, really. Family Guy does nothing except destroy the home and mock God. American Dad will go so far as to have just for instance, one episode where the rapture has happened. The main characters are left behind, but God loves them, and so they're going to come back and help God fight the Antichrist. And while they're walking around, the main character looks at Jesus and says, "Who's this?" And he points to a skeleton. And Jesus will say, "Oh, that was my father's jester." In other words, someone who can make God laugh. You say, come on now. These are just cartoons. It doesn't matter. Be careful what you put before your eyes that it pleases God. You say, it's just a music video. It doesn't matter in God's sight. If it's the wicked of the world instead of the what of the world, excuse me, of the word, turn it off. You say, listen, I've tried to turn it off. I've tried to stay away from it. I can't. I just keep going back, you know. Then get the television out of your room. Get the computer out of your room. Get the phone out of your hand. Excuse me. I hear this excuse all the time.
Brother Glenn, I need a phone.
No teenager has ever used it for this, except maybe 5 in a million.
But if something happens to me, I need to call my dad.
Then get a flip phone. And some of you would think,
I would suffer.
No, you wouldn't. Excuse me, let me ask you, what's more important to you, pleasing God or pleasing self? Pleasing God or your status on social media? Pleasing God or what people think? Pleasing God or your life of entertainment? You say, Brother Glenn, it's not really what I've been looking at. It really isn't. Young person, this is a serious thing. Social media can be used for good. It rarely is, but it could be used for good. But in most cases, it's not. I could take you today to a church in Pennsylvania where the youth pastor's daughter thought it would be cool to just start sending people nude pictures of her. Say, it's a youth pastor's daughter. Hey, be careful. Because what you do will have consequences no matter what. Say, listen, the things I've been watching, that really, they're not involved with pornography or whatever else, but it just doesn't please God, then stay away from it. The things I've been posting, they're not awful. If you have to ask yourself, then maybe they don't please God. The world is wicked. All that is in the world does not please God. Know this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can give you victory. You go further into the Bible, you'll find that God says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you'd say, oh man, I've tried to get over my bad thinking. I've tried to get over the wicked thoughts, but I can't. Then stop filling your mind with the wicked of the world and start filling your mind with the what of the Word. I was in a youth rally. I believe it was lower part of West Virginia. And a young man came up to me and he said, Brother Glenn, this is the testimony service, right? I said, yeah. He said, so it's okay for me to tell what God's been doing in me? I said, yeah. I said, what's God been doing in you? He said, God has been speaking to my heart about the music I've been listening to. I said, really? He said, yes. It's full of language that should never be used, just cursing and language against that God would not be pleased with. Furthermore, it would go into explicit content, and he'd say, I know it doesn't please God. So I said, well, what are you going to do about it? What I meant was, have you confessed it before God, and what are you going to say to everybody else publicly? He said, I know what I'm going to do about it. I already confessed it to God. God already forgave me, but I can't. And he held up his brand new iPhone. He said, I can't handle it. I thought, well, that's a good start. He said, can I throw this in the fire? I said, well, how about this? Probably shouldn't have said this, but he said, how about this? I said, couldn't you take off the bad and put on good? He said, Brother Glenn, I've tried that. I keep going back to the bad. I said, so it's more important. He said, it's more important to me to obey Jesus. I'll never forget, he walked up to the microphone, and all he said was this, I don't need this anymore. And he threw it in the fire. You say, oh, a brand new iPhone. There's one young person that decided it was more serious to be obedient, to follow God, than to allow the temptation of the wicked to influence him when he knew he couldn't handle it. I was back at that church 6 months later, and he said, "Brother Glenn, it's wonderful. I'm free." He said, "I'm in my Bible more than I've ever been, and God has set me free." It doesn't mean temptation goes away. It means you stay away from temptation. And here in these verses, you find in verse 1 John chapter number 3, he'll say in verse number 15, "Love not the world." Love not the world. In other words, love God. Say, how? Stay away from the wicked. You see, when you set the wicked before your eyes, no matter what it is, it'll always influence you. You know, the world knows that the way to get info across is through media, right? I mean, yeah, it's on TV. It's on the internet. And you know everything you read on the internet's true, right? You know that, right? And you're laughing because you know it's not. The world knows it can get to you through Facebook. It knows it can get to you through Twitter or X or whatever it is they call it now. It knows it can get to you through gaming systems. You say, "Listen, it's just a game." Yes. And depending on how avid a gamer you are, you know what cheat codes mean. And I don't think I have to go into too much detail, but you know that in most of today's games, you can download cheat codes and the characters begin to take off their clothes and you can continue playing the game. Let me ask you something. Does that please God? And why? You say, "Is it a big deal?" Yes. Because it reveals who you love. And God says, when you're a child of Him, you ought not do all instead, all you do to glorify God. You say, "But it's really just what I do." No, it's deeper than that. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. If you click it, careful, could be a ticket. I've had young people say this, "Brother Glenn, you have a phone." You're right. And I don't trust me. You say, "What does that mean?" That means I have a filter on my phone and on my laptop. And every day, an email goes to Miss Katie, and she can look at every single place I've been on my phone. You say, "Oh, Brother Glenn, come on now. I mean, seriously, there's no privacy." Where in the world do you get the idea that when you're on media, you have privacy? Have you been talking before? I mean, just talking. The other day, I was talking about a fishing pole that I was looking at, and I thought it was cool. And you know what happened? On Facebook and on YouTube, all of a sudden, I started getting ads for fishing poles. What?
It's private. Nobody knows.
I can also tell you, if you're erasing your internet history, I can probably tell you what you've been looking at. And if you're tech savvy, you could go back through and still find the internet history that's been wiped clean. Say, "Brother Glenn, come on now. We're Christian young people." That doesn't mean we always choose to follow God. It doesn't mean we truly love God. I want you to see one more thing. We've seen the what of the word. Anything must glorify God. Everything must glorify God. The wicked of the world, it is wicked, but God gives victory. And now the wise of the way. Notice what he says in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, notice what he says in verse number 1. Psalm 1, verse number 1, he says this. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That means stay away. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." You'll get there if you continue to walk with them. nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's in the place of leadership. Why? Because you saw there what they were doing was no big deal. Eventually, you just condoned what they did. You agreed with what they did. And now you're leading in what they did. And he'll say in verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Friend, the only way to stay clean and pure and holy before God and to please the holy God is to walk with the holy God. So get in this book. You say, that book's old-fashioned. It's interesting to me that if God could preserve, if the God of heaven could preserve this book this long, I would say it's pretty important. And you know what? I find people in the Word of God that have looked at things they never, ever, ever should have looked at. And I also find that God forgave. You know, one of the greatest characters in the Bible, a man named David, who God would call a man after his own heart, you do realize he was an adulterer, right? You realize he was a murderer. Excuse me, stick with me. Do you know why? Because of what he saw.
Say, that didn't make him an adulterer and a murderer.
It led up to it. He didn't take his eyes off what God said no. And he chose to continue to gaze. And then he went after what God said no. And now, instead of just talking about the wicked, he is one. But know this. David had great consequences, but God forgave. And young person, you may say, I'm involved in this, that, or the other thing. You know what? Maybe it's not huge, but sin is still sin in God's sight, whether it's little or big. Yes, it's wrong. God forgives. God forgives. Then how do you stay clean? You walk with God. You walk with God. You get in the Word. The wise of the way follows the Word. And if you have this, I think it'll be a help to you to write these down. Here's some principles. Some principles for what you put before your eyes. Understand, like we've already said, everything before my eyes must glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Write down the reference. You can go back to it later. Everything must glorify God. Number 2, guard your eye gate. Philippians 4, verse 8, and Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. By the way, that takes diligence. That takes work. It's interesting. God will even say, guard thy heart with all diligence. You know, I saw a clip recently. Most of y'all probably don't even know who this is. Anybody remember or know, I shouldn't say remember, way before your time. Anybody know who I'm talking about when I use the name Mr. Rogers? Okay, yeah, yeah. You know why you know him and it's way before your time? Because he was clean. Because he was interesting. And believe it or not, he did love the Lord. But it's interesting to me, Mr. Rogers was caught on a prank channel one time. He went into a hotel. He was speaking somewhere. And the people checking him into the hotel said this to Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers, we are so sorry. The television doesn't work. The television is broken. All the other pranks that they had pulled on other people, the people got mad and they would refuse to stay in that room. They'd want another room. You know what Mr. Rogers said? It's okay. I don't need television. There's nothing good on it anyway. And he was on it. He said, what's the point? Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Go further. Number 3, you will become what you think about. And you think about by what you put your eyes on. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7. All of these are important. We'll keep going. Number 4, be careful about delighting in violence. Psalm 11, verse number 5. Some of you, you live for the shoot 'em games. You live for the blood, guts, and gore. I'd be careful. Write down that reference. Go back to what God says. Those that delight in violence cannot please God. Be wise with your time, Ephesians 5, 16. Be simple with evil. I hear young people tell me this all the time.
But listen, if I don't know what the world is doing, how will I ever stand strong?
Think about what you just said. Think about that argument. I don't need to understand the science behind food being good for me. But I eat it. Kind of the same reasoning.
I need to know about the wickedness to understand good. No.
Be simple concerning evil and wise for good. You don't have to know about the wickedness. Stay away from it. Number 7. Oh, by the way, that reference is Romans 16, 19. Number 7, avoid the appearance of evil. You say, listen, I was just looking at this. I mean, nobody was around. Be careful. You're opening yourself up for temptation. And nobody knows. You know, these little AirPods or Beats or whatever else you put in our ears. Nobody really knows what you're listening to. They have no idea. So I've asked people before, what are you listening to? Can I try? Strangers. Oh, no. It's personal. If you're not willing for someone to hear what you're listening to or someone to watch with you, it's probably not good. I'm asked all the time by teenagers when we speak on music,
how do you know if music pleases God or not?
This is so simple. Bear with me. If you're sitting there listening to music, and maybe this is old-fashioned, but if you're sitting there listening to music and the Lord Jesus were to walk next to you and sit next to you and be listening to the same music, would you turn it down? I think that's a pretty good indicator, right? Would the Lord listen to that? Well, that's the Lord. And you're a child of God? What's different? Do you understand? Same thing with what you're watching. Be careful. Go on. Don't delight in that which is opposite of God. Romans 3, 12 through 18. Romans 1, 32. When God says no, you say no. When God says stay away from, if I want to glorify God, stay away from. Keep going. Be distinct. Be different.
You say, I don't want to be different. I'll stick out like a sore thumb. Everybody will laugh at me.
Then maybe it's time to find some new friends. By the way, this is free. If your friends are not pushing you toward Jesus, to follow Jesus, you need new friends. New friends. Be distinct. Be different. Even the Bible will say that we ought to be aliens. With three eyes? No. A peculiar people, different from the world. You'll never be different. You'll never make a difference if you don't follow Christ. And lastly, number 10, 1 Corinthians 6:12, don't be controlled except by God. You see, what you put before your eyes will end up controlling you. And if you think you can handle it, you've been deceived. You say, Brother Glenn, you know, some of this morning, you've really stepped on my toes. Or maybe you're saying, man, I've watched some of the cartoons. I didn't know they were bad. Well, maybe it's time this morning to determine you're going to choose to love God rather than the world. Maybe you need to choose forgiveness this morning and confess the sin. Maybe this morning you just need to make a decision. I got to get in the Word. I got to get rid of the world. You'll never get rid of the world until you get in the Word. You'll never have victory until you follow Christ. Please understand this. Jesus forgives. Jesus is for you. And Jesus says, follow me. Young person, What do you have in your life? What about your eye gate? What about your posting? What about the posts that you've looked at? What about what you're watching? What about what you're hiding? Does it please God? Let's be a little bit more specific. Does it prove that you love you, love the world, or love God? Back in 1 John, he'll say this. Chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, by the way, that doesn't just mean the world, that means what the world has to offer. The love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means you have no place in your heart to love God and love the world. God is a jealous God. He will not accept both. Let me ask you. That's probably a wrong thing to say. Because we're all sinners. How about this? If God were to look at what you're looking at, would God say, they love me? Or would God say, whoa, they sure not looking at things that would say that they love me. You would say, well, thankfully God's not looking. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There are consequences to what you click. So click it.